This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at stdave.org.
Well, good morning. I don't know about the rest of you, but I can hardly believe that it's already August. This summer has flown by. We'll hear in announcements in a little bit that Welcome Home Sunday is only 2 weeks from today. And personally, I leave tomorrow to help my daughter Carly move in for her senior year of college. And then the very next week, I'll go to New York City to help my son Cade move into his dorm for his freshman year of college. So summer is over. As parents, I think we all want big things for our children. Meaning, I think we want nothing more than for them to find their passion and their place in the world. We want them to find peace and belonging, and to pursue their dreams. We hope that they can be free of the boundaries and obstacles so that they can realize and achieve their full potential. In fact, as parents, we often challenge and encourage them to think bigger, to push themselves, to stretch and to grasp for larger things, which we see as their parents that are within their grasp. And I think this is part of what we see in the gospel lesson from this morning. There's a common theme throughout the Gospel of John of Jesus trying to expand our understanding of the kingdom and of Jesus' own identity. Jesus is consistently encouraging his followers to leave behind their worldly aspirations and to enter more fully into the kingdom of God. In chapter 3 of John, for instance, Nicodemus takes Jesus literally when he speaks of the necessity of being born again before entering the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus doesn't understand how someone can enter the womb a second time. When Jesus is speaking of a spiritual rebirth into the kingdom, it's also echoed by the Samaritan woman in John 4 who takes this idea of living water as literal water. She's at a well, after all. But Jesus is speaking more symbolically of water as a source of salvation and wisdom and epiphany. And the crowd in today's lesson makes a similar misstep. The crowd is following Jesus because they have seen him heal the sick. They've seen him feed and provide for thousands of people. Yet Jesus is clear that he was sent to do something even greater. The crowd wants manna and signs like the Israelites saw during the Exodus. But Jesus tells them not to look for a new prophet or a new intermediary like Moses when they have the Son of God quite literally dwelling amongst them. Jesus is bringing in and initiating something greater, and the kingdom will bring a relationship with and an experience of God that's unlike anything experienced before. So Jesus tells them that instead of asking for manna or for sustenance, in other words, instead of searching for food that perishes, they should yearn for the food that endures for eternal life. They should acknowledge that they are quite literally in the presence of the bread of God, the bread of life, in the presence of God incarnate. We're told that Jesus is the bread that gives life to the world. And those who encounter Jesus in the Gospel of John are understandably all too often looking for the means of daily life. They seek bread, water, healing, perhaps a spiritual encounter. But Jesus, like a parent encouraging their children, keeps trying to reframe and to refocus the crowd's attention. Jesus wants them to strive for the fruits of the kingdom, not just for the needs of the world. So I ask this morning, what do you pray for? What do you hope for when you ask for your daily bread during the Lord's Prayer? Where is your attention focused? Is it on earthly and worldly things or on the promises of the kingdom? What's made clear in the Gospel of John is that Jesus wants to push us beyond our basic needs and desires, encouraging us to seek higher, and to quite literally strive for the heavens, challenging us to expand our understanding of what is ultimately at stake, but also expanding our understanding of what's ultimately possible. Now, we're only partway through this Bread of Life discourse in John, so the answers are still unfolding and being revealed. But our need to continually reframe and refocus ourselves is being made quite clear. The crowd wants to make Jesus king of the world, but Jesus' reign exists within the kingdom of God. But the crowd isn't entirely wrong. Jesus, after all, provided for them, has fed them, has healed many of them. But Jesus didn't come to address these earthly and basic needs. Jesus represents a greater gift from the Father, a gift of love, of relationship, of presence, and of eternal life. And our worldly preoccupations can blind us to the gifts of the kingdom and even to the presence of God in our midst. So the question becomes, how do we acknowledge and enter deeper into the spiritual reality that surrounds us? How do we look past our basic needs and strive for the fruits of the kingdom? How do we stop looking for an intermediary or for a path to God and acknowledge that God is here, already in our midst, fully revealing God's self to us and for us? The gospel shows us that we will need to constantly reframe and refocus our attention. We'll need to remind and encourage each other on our journeys. But the gospel also reminds us that God is by our side, reminding, correcting, and encouraging us as well. Keep praying for your daily bread, but also keep expanding and challenging your understanding of what daily bread truly means within the kingdom of God. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.